Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good afternoon, Rochester. You are listening to Soundbites on April 16th, the day before Easter Sunday. And I am Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And of course, Nick, believe it or not, folks, he's usually always saying is one step ahead of the law. So, you know, but no, he couldn't make it today. So he might be joining us hopefully on the phones. Steve?
I'm trying to get him in now, yep.
Okay, but other than that, we will be bringing, we encourage you folks to give us a call at, I've forgotten the numbers now.
Yeah, they're written on this side.
Yeah, they're all over on the other side.
585-966-JAZZ, that's 585-966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And speaking of pledging, as you folks know, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And we need you folks to pick up the phones. And Michael, our great assistant here, is waiting eagerly to take your calls and take your pledges. Because we're almost there, folks. You know, we're over halfway there to our goal. And I know you hear us constantly, you know, asking for the money and everything else because, yeah, it's one of the few stations that we don't get public assistance. And I know you've heard this before. We depend on you folks. So just like we give up, Steve, Nick, and I, the three of us, for the past 31 years, have been giving up our Saturdays to come to you and answer your computer questions. And we've tried to keep up with the times. You think about it. Back in the days when we first started, it was the old PCs, the desktops with just the dual disk drives, monochrome monitors. And we've walked you through everything as far as putting in CD-ROM drives, even a thing, simple thing that you take for granted now, a mouse, and helping you with printer issues. And we've seen the evolution through all this time, you know, going from the 286s, the 386s, the 486s. Heck, some of you folks I know were talking about old computers. I can remember my first one was a Trash 80, working with 8.5-inch floppy drives, disk, you know, and to where now, you know, we can get a thumb drive that has 2 terabyte of information on it. CDs, DVDs, no, we don't worry about that anymore. We've got super fast internet. Back in the day, it was, you know, I'm having trouble getting my modem to connect. And, you know, you hear those tones, and everything else to get connected and get your information. You needed a program. Quite often, folks would have to go to a computer club and get it. But what I'm getting at is we've been there for you answering all your problems and questions. And we come to you folks twice a year asking for your help. So we really need you to pick up the phones, give us a call, and, you know, whatever amount you can afford, that's great. We understand. But we do need your help because otherwise we won't be here. It's plain and simple as that, folks. And our audience, as we have traveled from the various different stations that we've been at, you know, you folks have all followed us, and we appreciate that. And that's why the three of us show up usually every Saturday. The only times that we don't is maybe if it's Christmas or New Year's falls on a Sunday, Saturday. Then we don't, you know, we take the time off too, be with our families. But otherwise, we're here answering your questions. So, yeah, again, pick up the phones, keep Michael busy, and keep Rob busy, too. You can do it securely online so you can continue listening to the show. But, you know, also, pick up the phones and give us a call with your questions. One of the things I wanted to get into, which we've been talking about quite a bit lately, is you can go into stores nowadays, and in fact, wife and I were just going through Walmart yesterday, and you go in there and through the computer section, and you don't see any more desktops. It's all laptops, tablets, or phones. So, you know, a lot of folks are saying, well, yeah, I still got this, you know, say Pentium i3, i5, or i7, you know, and it's not that old, and I'm getting tired of Windows and it crashing. Well, you've been hearing us talk more and more about different operating systems. We've recommended the Chromebooks, which for you folks, and there's a lot of folks, that Chromebook fits your need. Because you literally just go on there, you surf the internet, you check your mail. And now that the Chromebook can do apps, so if you want to do photo editing or music, you can download them just like you do on your phone. Another alternative that I've been really getting into, and it's been kind of a dark subject, you know, crossing over into that line is Unix and Ubuntu. That was sort of like, oh, going to the dark side. And it was like, yeah, okay, you know, Windows is here. It's good. But the way Windows is going, you know, Microsoft is using you as a test bench. So if they're rolling out anything, they're relying on you to try it out and see if it sticks. And see if it's going to work for you.
Yeah, they cut down on their entire testing
facility. Yeah, the beta testers, back in the day, we used to be beta testers. We'd get the software, and we were hoping it was going to break so we could wind up going and writing them, hey, I found this flaw. They relied on that. Well, they don't do that anymore. They rely on the millions of people that are using their product. And, if it wipes it out, oh, well, like my wife, she lost over 18,000 photos.
Wow.
We still don't understand how that happened because there were other photos on her desktop that were still there.
Yeah.
But this one folder that she had just recently put up there had 18,000 photos in it, gone.
Yeah, I read on some analysis where they were talking about when Windows does an update, it moves your home folder off somewhere else. So it can update everything and then moves your home folder back.
Well,
why do that? And the problem is it doesn't always move everything back. So that's how you lose your files.
That's what happened to her. It got moved over, but never came back.
Yep.
That one folder. And that was literally, like I say, 18,000 photos that my wife goes over to, right now, Holy Sepulchre Cemetery, and she takes photos of headstones, and she posts them up there for Find a Grave. So folks that are doing genealogy and that type of stuff, they can see, you know, she'll get requests that, oh, I've got an aunt or an uncle or family that's buried in this cemetery, and people go around taking pictures. So they can tie that to their family tree and ancestry, because that's a big thing nowadays. So she does that, and she works in various sections, and she had quite a few sections, and it's gone.
Yep.
Of course, I tried my darndest to do it. But what I'm getting at is, sort of the long way around, is I've been playing around with Ubuntu, and more specifically, Xubuntu. And if you folks are familiar with Windows, this one system, Xubuntu, is very much like the look and feel of Windows. And if you've got an older computer, say even if it's, I've just put in it on a 320 gig hard drive, and it's on an older, slower machine. It's no speed demon, but hey, with Ubuntu on it, it moves pretty darn good.
Yeah, Linux has always not needed as much horsepower as Windows does. And so even for Windows and older Windows computers and Mac computers that can't handle the latest OSs, very easy to install a version of Ubuntu that that can work just fine with that level of hardware.
Yeah, and it's very easy to do, folks. So if you've got, say, an old machine that's sitting around the corner and want to play around with it, and it works on Raspberry Pis, too. I put it on Raspberry Pi 4. Basically, what you got to do is you just get the Raspberry Pi imager, and you download a current copy of Ubuntu.
And I'm posting a link for Xubuntu, too.
Yeah. And, well, thing of it is, though, you don't need the Xubuntu. You got to do them in series, I found out. What you got to do is you put Ubuntu first. All right. Oh, let me back up. You first, on your regular machine, you get Raspberry Pi Imager. Put that on your desktop. From there, you can go in and select what you want to do. Ubuntu. But they have one that's called Other Operating Systems. You select that, go over and say Ubuntu for desktop. Ubuntu for desktop. And you you select that and burn that image to a disk if you want to burn it to a hard drive or a micro SD card. Or USB drive. You then take that over to your PC that you want to try this out on, and have it boot from there.
Yeah, because you have to build the installer on some other already working computer.
Right. So you put it in there, and it will install. Now, word of caution. When you're installing this, let it do the full install, and then it's also going to want to do updates. And like I say, you just have to be patient, sit back and watch it, because it will tell you when it's done. You literally watch it go installing all your programs, and then it'll go through and do all the updates. It'll even tell you, oh, yeah, I've got, say, 3 or 4 updates. It'll go out. You click on it and say, okay, go ahead, do it. Again, it's just having the patience and watching it, like paint dry, slowly do it. But it does it.
Yep.
And it'll update. And when it's done, it'll say, okay, we're ready to reboot. Once you hit that point, you go ahead and reboot. Now, here's the only one hard part. Now, if you don't like the look of Ubuntu, and this is where I say you want to use Xubuntu, on your desktop, once it reboots, there's a thing called the terminal window. And I know a lot of folks, I don't like playing with dark windows and that. Well, you click on the terminal window. And all you have to do is this little window opens up. It's a dark screen. You see a cursor blinking. And in there, all you have to do is type sudo, that's S-U-D-O, space A-P-T, space install, space X Ubuntu dash desktop and hit enter. It will then go through this whole install program. You don't have to do anything. Again, you just watch it until it says, I'm done. Once you're done, you close that window out, reboot your machine. You're now using Xubuntu. And all you've had to do is literally burn an image at first, put it on a flash drive, and boot up this old machine to put Ubuntu. Let it do all its updates. Again, you don't have to interact with it. Typing in all this other stuff. It does it automatically.
It only needs a 386 with 512 megs of RAM.
Yeah.
So you put it on your i5, i7, even a couple of years old, it's going to scream.
Yeah, it does. And I'm liking it. There's so many programs out there. I mean, it comes built in with LibreOffice. So you've got all your spreadsheets and everything else. And you can network it with your other computers. And it's all there. And, they've got Firefox for a browser, but you can download Chrome or any other browser that you want. Most of them work. But you talk about software that's available, the repositories.
All for free.
Yeah, and they're constantly being updated. I found this one program. It's called Variety. And I, again, it was just there because I wanted different wallpaper. And they go, oh, we got one here that's got over 200,000 images. And it'll change it every 5 minutes, or you can set the time for it. And it literally changes the screen wallpaper every 5 minutes for me. And I don't have, all I had to do was click on it and say, yeah, install this one. I like that one. And even installing software is very easy. So, you know, if you want to play around with something, definitely check out Ubuntu/Xubuntu. It's a good way to turn this old machine that's sitting around and maybe not the fastest demon in the world, but it'll get you up and get you going. So give it a shot. And while you're at it, also give us a call. You know, Michael's sitting there waiting for you to pick up the phone and give us a call with your pledge. And we'd love to hear from you. What we, did you ever give us any of the news?
I found the news, but I don't know how much of it you did last week. Because it looks like the Chromium update you talked about, there was a big security update for Chromium last week. And so that's the poll still open, too. So he doesn't have a new poll. Let me get back to the Soundbites website. Yeah, it's just the new poll on from last week. So Nick has been very busy this week and unable to keep up. Apple iPhone warnings last week?
I don't know as if we did.
Well, we'll do it again. And for those that missed it last week, we can talk about it again. So for most people, iOS updates on Apple products are something that happen automatically while you sleep and go completely unnoticed. Of course, most updates don't add much in the way of significant upgrades or make many changes to the way the phone works. But these nocturnal downloads also provide important fixes to bugs in your device that could leave it vulnerable to a number of constantly evolving security threats. However, even these regular updates are typically taken care of automatically. Users may have noticed that sometimes weeks will go by before their device is updated with the latest patch. Craig Federighi, who is Senior Vice President of Software Engineering at Apple, explained how Apple approaches these software releases. We incrementally roll out new iOS updates by first making them available for those who specifically seek them in Settings. So if you go into Settings, General Software Update, it goes and looks immediately. And then 1 to 4 weeks later, after they get feedback on if the update worked or not, they start rolling it out to the rest of the world, and they ramp up rolling out to those devices that have auto update turned on. Sometimes problems are found with an update, and then they fix it fast. So you don't necessarily want to be the first one on there. For some people, these security responses came as a warning that the iPhone and iPad users could be vulnerable to threats for up to a month that it may take for the rollout to happen. And Apple differs from competitor Android by not separating feature updates from security patches. Apple does release some security patches as a standalone patch, but many of them are available only as part of an OS update. So this delay allows for bugs to get resolved first and stop Apple servers from crashing. But gradually rolling out updates to users, the company can spot other bugs before they become widespread. And it's relatively common tactic allows Apple to avoid iPhone and iPads from becoming unstable due to an unseen glitch. And by spreading out the volume of downloads, Apple can avoid placing strain on its servers over a billion iPhone users. That's a lot of downloads.
Yeah, that'd bring a system to its knees for sure.
Yeah. So fortunately for those concerned about keeping their devices up to date, you can manually download the updates as soon as they're available. You go into Settings, General, and Software Update, and it will look for and find any updates immediately. So you get updates that may not have been rolled out widespread yet, even though the update is available. So a lot of more security conscious people will do that. We constantly see people where there's a little red one on their settings icon telling mm-hmm. them there's a message to read. They've never bothered reading it. So they're behind, 5, 10, 20 updates that they've really? Never bothered installing because they don't have auto update turned on. There's sort of a trade-off in security versus potential problems.
Okay.
So if auto update is turned on, you get all the latest security updates. But if there's a glitch in the updater, if auto update is turned on, your phone is unusable
yep.
until it's fixed. So a lot of people don't like to have auto update on. They
it's sort of like a double-edged sword.
Yeah, especially because it wants to update as soon as you're in the middle of something.
Of course,
yeah. There's similar stories about Windows update. I heard one this week where a presenter was going to give a presentation at a conference. So first thing Monday morning, he opens his a laptop to start the presentation, and Windows says, "Now installing updates. 1 of 27. Do not unplug."
just when he needed.
Just when he wanted to start mm-hmm. his presentation. So mm-hmm. yeah. So you can defer updates with Windows, but eventually they catch up with you and force to install. Currently on the Mac, at least, you can keep hitting ignore or ignore that update and never install the updates. One of the problems can happen is if another update supersedes that last one,
mm-hmm.
your computer may get a little confused because it's looking for,
the previous one?
Right, it's looking for 12.3.0, and now that 12.3.1 is out, it can't find 12.3.0. So you may have to reboot to tell it to now look for new updates past the one that it already thought it had.
Oh, great. And like I say, and again, they're using the public as their beta testers. The public is the...
Yeah.
No
matter how many beta testers you have, there's going to be some weird configuration.
Well, that's the thing. Nowadays, back in the day, beta testing was kind of small.
Yeah.
And that, the equipment and the variety of boards and everything else and combinations of things that are peripherals that you would have in a machine. And nowadays, with all the different manufacturers and different companies out there that are supplying these builders, it's just about virtually impossible to, ferret out all the combinations. So that's why, in some respects, that's why they've had to go to using people, the public, for beta testers, because they just can't test everything. They can test a good majority, a wide swath of users as far as the basic equipment, say graphics card, memory, speed of the processors, and that type of stuff. But all the other things, game's over.
Yeah, there's so many combinations. There could, there could be a billion different people using Windows, and they could have a billion different combinations.
Well,
of hardware, video card, mouse, display, what software they have installed. Nobody has a pure Windows install. Pretty much, they've always installed some other program.
Yeah, and just within, I have two Dell machines.
Yep.
And one motherboard could vary from another one.
Yeah.
Even though, they're, i7 machines, this motherboard could be an older version than newer versus the other one, which makes them then different. And they could react differently to different changes that were working before. And now all of a sudden it does this update and it's broken.
Yep. We've seen that frequently, especially with our corporate clients. They order 20 computers.
Yep.
So we get 20 Dells in, and there's 18 different motherboards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all i7s with 8 gigs of RAM, but they're all slightly different.
Yeah. It's just crazy. All right. Tell you what, folks. We've got to take a short break, but we will be back. Please give us a call with your questions and your pledge. We'd love to hear from you at 585-966-5299 or toll free 1-800. What was that? Of course, the clearer is in here. 790-0415. But we will be back in just a few moments.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And as you folks might not have known or maybe living under the rock, we're in the middle of a pledge drive and we need your help. So please pick up the phone to keep Michael busy. He's sitting there anxiously waiting for you to call in and say hello and, you know, even call in, make a pledge, and then ask a question. Or you can do it also safely online, which, you know, while you're listening to the show, it only takes a few moments and mark that you're a proud listener to the Sound Bites and want to support us and keep us going for years to come.
And recently published on the Jazz 901 website is where does the money go? People ask, you know, what do we use this money for? It looks like about 2/3 of the of our budget is for staffing costs, and there's only 3 paid employees.
Yeah,
and most of us are volunteers, so the majority of the leftover money is programming fees. And paying the licenses for all the music we play, that we have to pay the royalties on each of the music.
And this equipment. I mean, you know, if something breaks down, you know, Rob's got to be able to place it to keep us up on the air. You know, this equipment isn't cheap. You know, I mean, just the mixer board and the CD players.
Didn't you have to put a new CD player in recently?
Yeah.
That's one of So a lot of our music is on digital.
Yeah, we've finally gotten it on digital.
But we still have CDs, and there's even a turntable behind you.
Yeah, 2 turntables. I've got here, folks, in front of me, to the left side of the board, is 3 CD players. And when a lot of our DJs are here at night or during the day and they're playing music, if it's not on the, you know, into the computer, you know, they've got to pull the CDs. A lot of the programmers, the folks like to come in and pull their own CDs and do their own mix for you to listen to for that particular evening in genre.
One of the few stations that still has live DJs mixing music.
Yeah, I mean, the only time that we don't have
a live DJ is when we're... we're trying to figure out something here with the phones here. Yeah, there's very few pre-recorded shows on the station, and that's because we like to have the live DJs.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the thing of it is back when I was doing my Thursday night shows, folks would call in and say, hey, could you play this song?
Yep.
And I know a lot of the other folks that have the shows going on, excuse me, if you call in and ask for, they'll gladly say, yeah, no problem. Whereas some other station, they've got their canned routine. Yep. You could sit there and say, hey, could you play this song? And like you've pointed out before, it's probably in the rotation anyway. So they just say, yeah, we'll play it. And it does pop up and you think, oh, great. He listened to me and played it. No, he didn't.
And if it's not in the rotation, they won't play it anyway. So
and what are you going to do? You know, I mean, you requested a song. Sometimes it'll get on, sometimes it won't. But you call this station and the DJs really care. You know, they want their listeners to call in and, you know, hear from them and whether they're liking the music that they're even hearing. And you don't find that. There's very few jazz stations left in the U.S. Last I knew, there was only, I think, 5 or 6. And, you know, jazz is quite different, folks. It's sort of like country music. It's evolved, you know, back from the 20s and 30s when jazz was evolving. It's gone a whole different way, just like country western music. You know, it's not the twang and all that. They've got modern country, and the same with
a little more rock edge.
Yeah, and same with the jazz. You know, they've got fusion and all the very contemporaries. You can find a niche, and we've got it. But we need you folks to pick up the phones and give us a call. And with that, hold on. I'll let you take it over.
I think we have a call coming in. Our phone numbers here are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Our toll-free number is 1-800-790-0415. And you can always pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We only come to you twice a year for pledgings. We're not like some other stations that do three or four times a year. And it's just to meet our very basic budget. We're very, very surprised that we can run this radio station on $200,000 a year.
Yeah, that is very slim pickings. All right, we'll go to the phones. We got James from Rochester calling in. How can we help you today, James?
Yes, hello. You guys are doing a great job, as always. I have a question for you. I have Kaspersky for my security. Do I need anything else to go along with that? Or just that by itself seems to do everything?
It depends on which Kaspersky product you have. You need an antivirus program, mm-hmm. and you need an anti-malware program. So if you just have Kaspersky antivirus, you also should have Malwarebytes and Super Anti-Spyware. But if you have the full Kaspersky suite that has everything, you may not need it. But it's not a bad idea to run Malwarebytes or Super Anti-Spyware now and then. You don't need to have them running all the time. Just run it once in a while to make sure nothing snuck in, because no one program can catch everything.
Okay. Yeah, I have the full, but I will take your advice and run those every once in a while as maybe like a double check.
Yeah.
I have one other quick question about my phone. I don't know if you could answer this. I have an inexpensive Samsung phone, and you know how sometimes it flips to the from the vertical to the horizontal setting? Lately, mine has been doing that a lot. Is there some setting that in there that you know of that would leave it on vertical where it doesn't flip over to the horizontal?
Auto-rotate.
Yeah, there's usually a rotation lock or auto-rotate off option in the settings somewhere.
Oh, it's what it's called. I'll look for the auto-rotate.
Yep, or rotation lock to lock it in the current rotation. Okay. A lot of times the icon is like a semicircle arrow.
Yeah, when you go, usually at the top of the phone, if you swipe down, there's a menu. And one of the menu selections is auto-rotate. If you turn that off, it won't auto-rotate.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes, you know how you're goofing around with the phone. For some reason, it must have been changed or whatever.
Yeah, you might have swiped down one time and accidentally hit the button to auto-rotate. That's where you can also turn on the flashlight. Uh-huh. Or if you've got a hot spot, you can turn on that, or also turn on and off your
The quick data. Settings. They call that the control center on iPhone, where if you go into the settings app, there's a lot more settings, but usually just swiping down or from the top or up from the bottom gets you to
the
quick settings.
Has a few basic ones.
Yeah.
Airplane mode is another popular one.
Yep.
What is that airplane mode?
It basically turns off the radios, turns off the Wi-Fi radio, the cellular radio, the Bluetooth radio, to make it safer to use on an airplane, because too many phones generating electromagnetic signals can interfere with the airplane's electronic functions.
So if you're not traveling, really, you don't need that?
No.
Not really, although some people use it to save battery. If you're just like playing music from the phone, mm-hmm. You can turn airplane mode on, and then it saves battery, and so you can play music a lot longer.
Oh, okay.
But airplane mode will also disconnect you from the internet. It won't let you make phone calls, and so you have to realize.
Kind of isolate you.
Yeah. But if you just want to play music for 12 hours and not get interrupted by anything, turn on airplane mode, yeah.
Thank you so much. You guys have got great answers to everything. You're geniuses. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah. Bye-bye. What was his name again?
James from Rochester.
All righty. Got him written down here.
Okay. Keep it straight. And we can use you folks to pick up the phones. Give us a call, 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415 with your pledge. Michael is eagerly standing by. Well, he's sitting. But, want to get this pledge drive over, folks. We know it's like, people pick up, oh, yeah, they're doing a pledge drive. Yeah, but let's get it over with. We've got so many great members out there that are proud members and being part of the show. They call in and you hear it all the time. not just today, but even during regular weeks. They'll say, and I'm a proud member. Yeah, because you know what? They appreciate the support that we give them and the money that we save you.
Yep.
You take your computer in to have it repaired, and I guarantee it, most times it's going to be a couple hundred bucks minimum.
And yeah,
couple hundred.
And it's frustrating. We'll run into people who do the same thing over and over again. Well, my email's not working. Well, what happened? Well, it said to change your password, so I did. Well, okay, what'd you change it to? I don't remember. Okay, now we got to go through the forgot password procedure again.
Yeah.
And you got to do your security questions again. Do you remember those? And then be able to get your password back in for your email. A lot of email systems are now starting to require two-factor authentication. So when you log into email, it will send a code. Or they need to using a new system called authentication tokens. So rather than just having username and password, your computer also has to have a token, and OAuth is one of the more popular token procedures. So we've started seeing that with both Outlook Mail and AOL Mail. You need to have an OAuth-compatible mail reader. And the stupid thing is that Microsoft Outlook for Windows does not support OAuth. So you can't use AOL's OAuth.
Do people still use even AOL?
Have a lot of customers using it.
Really?
So you have to go into the AOL settings and create an application-specific password. So now you have your general AOL password, but then you have a password you use with Outlook on your desktop in order to get your AOL mail on your desktop computer.
Is the website even up for AOL?
Yeah, the website's still going. It's mostly a news portal, but a lot of people have AOL addresses. I'm a little upset I let my AOL address go because I was a charter member. You know, what, 30 years ago?
I haven't used that in decades.
Yeah.
I didn't. Remember all the free discs and CDs you used to get? Folks used to kid because they were great coasters.
Yeah. And for a long time, you never had to buy discs because you kept getting free ones in the mail.
You put another label over it and just, you know, reuse it.
AOL's coming up on 40 years. Wow. May 1985.
That makes me older.
Yeah. Well, and there was in the early days, it was Quantum Link, and they had partnered with Apple on the Apple II to do early email on the Apple II in 1985, and then the first Macintoshes. But that's a long time ago, 39 years ago.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's go back to the phones. We got Mike from Batavia. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi there. Hi, guys. A great show. I remember years ago when I used to have to go in my car and listen to you guys on the radio. You
know, come a long ways, huh?
Yeah, well, it's so much nicer now, especially with the YouTube, because, it's perfect.
Yep.
Anyway, my thing is I've heard good things about a program called Everything. It runs on Windows, and it's for file searching in Windows. And I was just wondering if you heard anything bad about it or... You know, before I download it, you know what I hate is when you download something and you get what you want, but you also get three things that you don't want.
Yeah. Well, that's where, and this holds true, Mike, with any software package. They bundle a lot of stuff in there. Now, here's the key. When you're installing the package, it might want to install some other tag-alongs.
Read the installation screens.
Take your time when you hit, do the install. It'll say, we're going to install this. And usually down in the lower left-hand corner, you can sit there and say, decline.
Now, you don't need the ask search bar, and you don't need this other thing.
Trash that comes along with it, you can ignore it. Just install the basic program and not all the other, like Steve was saying, the menu bars and this other program that'll help you do this and updating for your, video drivers and everything else and doing this search or that search.
My plan, this is what I do, is I back up right before I do the download.
Yeah,
that way. Good.
That's good.
Smart move.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Mike, you got Revo uninstaller in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
All right, good. As long as you've got Revo, and you don't like the program, you can always go back to Revo and do a deep clean and, you know, an advanced clean, and it will get everything out of there, both in the registry and in the file system.
This reminds me, it looks very Windows 3-ish.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just a search window, a list of search window results.
Huh.
Very simple interface. It looks pretty nice. We'll have to take a look at it.
All right, yeah. We'll have to take a look at it.
Okay. So as long as nobody's heard anything bad, I'm going to try it. I just backed up.
Well, let us know, though. Let us know how it goes.
Okay.
Thank you. Good luck with it.
I did read on the Wikipedia page that there's some concern because it runs with root privileges that it could get up to bad things. But if it's searching your whole hard drive, it kind of needs root privileges.
Yeah, it's got to because...
Root, administrator.
Yeah, but if something's in there and buried in there, they're going to try to hide themselves. So, yeah, they've got to be able to go in and ferret out anything that doesn't look quite kosher.
Yeah. I had that with a machine this week where we were copying from a dying hard drive to a new drive, and when the copy finished, there was 30 gigs short, and now I'm trying to find out where that 30 gigs is and if I can get that 30 gigs back or if it's gone forever.
One thing I've got to play around with, as I was told, I wound up putting you... He's got it. All right. I wound up putting Ubuntu on this 320 meg hard drive, 320 gig hard drive.
Yeah, which is tiny for anything else.
Yeah. But I tried installing it on a SATA drive. Or not SATA, SSD drive. You know, solid state drive. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't go. I'd put it in and then boot up my Pi. And it get through it, do the install. But then it was acting weird in that it was freezing. Mouse would disappear.
So I wonder if the drive is too fast and the OS can't respond to that.
Well, that's what I'm thinking because it's only a 4 gigger.
Yeah.
And it might be a little bit too slow, too fast for this because the regular... 320 gig hard drive, that's working fine. I mean, it's no speed demon, whereas I've gotten spoiled with the solid state drives. They are just so fast. I mean, I've got two Raspberry Pi 8 giggers, and I've got solid state drives on both of them. And one's a file server for my wife's photos, and the other one's for me to do my stuff. Because... once she lost all those photos, I've got them backed up there, up on Amazon Prime. You know, the photos up there. You know, I just don't want to go through that again.
Usually all it takes is one crash for people to back up. But we get people coming in year after year that don't back up, have to pay for expensive recovery. Here, take this $100 hard drive. Leave it plugged into your computer. It will keep everything backed up.
The other thing is, I hate to admit it, she had another hard drive, and I told her from time to time, you should back it up.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what we use, you know, I used to hear all the time, I'm sure you still do from your customers. Well, I meant to.
Yeah. Well, I've got a backup drive. Okay, your last backup was November 3rd, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've got a backup drive. All right, so you just lost everything you've done in the last 3 years.
Well, like you say, it only took this one time to, you know, for lose all this, which was devastating. I tried my best to get them back, but Windows didn't move them back, and they're off to Bitland. So now I've got her, so before she does anything playing with any of the photos, she has to first copy them off the camera onto her desktop, then from the desktop to two other different places.
Yep.
And then she can start playing with them, doing whatever she wants. Because I don't want to have to deal with that again. And like I say, now I've just, well, actually, I put it, like Nick was saying, do it to a third place, you know, up to the Amazon Prime, which we have, is free storage, unlimited photo storage, as long as it's standard, you know, photos, which that's what our camera does. So
there have been so many photo sharing sites and photo backup sites over the years that I've used every one of them. And then when that one stops and I start the new one, so it's sometimes weird going back to look, you know, look at my Flickr stream. And I ran that for a few years, and then it stopped. And then there was the, you know, .Mac used to have their web sharing for photos, and I'd look at some of those. And it's interesting to see how your photos changed over the years, and the quality of the cameras.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a lot of the cell phones now take better pictures than some of my wife's old camera. I mean, it's unbelievable, the quality of the pictures.
I had one of the early Sony Mavica floppy disk cameras. It was 640 by 480 and saved on a floppy disk. Which so it was real easy. You got your 20 photos on that disk, you put the next disk in, and keep going.
Speaking of picture quality, she had a Pixel 4. But for some reason, we just had to go get her up to a 6 now. Because the charging unit, broke. It wouldn't charge.
That's a very common problem on some phones. Is you plug that connector in so many times, it breaks the solder points.
It wasn't even a year old, so we wound up taking. She wound up taking it in, and they gave her a trade-in value. Mm-hmm. You know, because she was going from the 4, which, you know, they go, well, how long will it take to repair? And they go, well, we really don't know. But they gave her such a great deal on moving it over. It was only upgrade was $20.
Nice.
Trade the phone in. She got up to 6.
And I can do it now?
All right. And they moved everything over for her. And she just had to pay for a new case. And
We sometimes think the phone manufacturers do that on purpose. Every new phone is a slightly different shape. Or the camera cutout's a slightly different position, so
that's
you need a new case.
One thing I'm a little ticked at right now. I've got to call the company again. You know, I've got this the glass protector on my Pixel 3A, and I called them because it cracked. And they said, oh, well, we'll send you out one. And that was like 4 months ago. I, called and said, you know, hey, can you send me one? Oh, yeah, no problem. We'll send it right on out. And I've forgotten all about it. And it's like, since she got hers, I should probably check on that because they were supposed to send it in the mail because it's guaranteed for life. Yep. That if you break it, they'll send you another one. That was the whole thing of buying it. And it's like, either you replace it or I want my money back. Because the thing of it is they claim they're not making it anymore. And it's like, wait a minute. That's not my problem. You folks guarantee it for the life of the phone. The phone's still working. I want a new glass protector or my money back.
Yep. All right. In the last couple minutes we have left, I don't know if we should take the caller.
No, we're coming up on.
All right. So we're going to come up on our top of the hour break. So please stay on the line. And we'll get back to you. We want to mention that we are in a pledge drive, our annual spring pledge drive. Hopefully, it hasn't snowed yet today in this spring. And so you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Big red donate now button. Be sure you click on the sound bites icon so that you can pledge toward our show. And there are several gift available for you at different gift, at different pledge levels. You can get all those set up on the website as well. We've got Mike standing by waiting to take your pledges and also taking your phone calls. We do have a caller on the line that we'll get to once we get back. Again, the phone numbers are 966-JAZZ, toll free 1-800-790-0415. We are Soundbites in our 33rd year, 34th year now. Are we at
32 years?
32 years, yeah.
Coming up on 32 years. Yeah. We this coming Labor Day, which, you know, you sit there and say Labor Day, It's really not that far. We're already into April, halfway through April already, folks. So you know what? It's crawling up on us fast. And like I said, we also would like to end this phone drive, fun drive as fast as we can. So like Steve was saying, pick up the phones and give us a call. We'd love to hear from you folks at the numbers that he already said. We'll be back shortly. See you soon.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's CGI Rochester International Jazz Festival, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition, April 16th, 2022. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And you're listening to Sound Bites. And we are, in case you haven't listened, really don't know, we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need you folks to pick up the phones and give us a call at 966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415 and pledge. Just like our great friend, who I know is already a member, Larry from Rochester. Go ahead, Larry.
Good afternoon, guys. And I did my part last week when you guys
were I know it. Yep. That's why I mentioned it.
Got a question. I would like to find a way to get rid of some of the photos on my phone, my iPhone. They hog up a lot of memory. And sometimes they don't go up to iCloud as automatically as I thought I had them doing. So I thought I was synced, and I called myself deleting a few pictures from my phone and wound up deleting them from iCloud, too. Fortunately, they weren't must-have, but I need a way to, I guess, delete them off my phone, but make sure they get saved in iCloud and iPhoto, I think that is.
Yeah, it's just the Photos app now. They took the eye off a few versions ago. When you have photo syncing turned on so that your photos automatically sync up to the cloud, it does sync. So new photos get synced up and deleted photos get deleted. So that's how photo syncing works. There is another option to optimize disk storage, and that should be in the iCloud settings as well, where it won't download all of the photos to your phone, but only will show you thumbnails until you click on a photo. Then it will download and show you the high-res version as well. So you may want to turn on optimized storage, and I'm looking to see where that is. Probably under iPhoto.
Is there a way you can delete from the phone and not sync it?
Right. So the other way to do it is to turn off auto syncing. Then you can delete the photos on the phone, and they won't change on the cloud. But in order to get photos to the computer, you'd need to plug the wire in and import them manually like it was a camera.
Oh, okay. Because while you were talking, I was searching here, and I found a site, iMobile, and it has something here, AnyTrans, delete iPhoto photos easily. But, you know, I have to do a little bit more research on this before I start trying some new software.
Yeah, I've used AnyTrans before to transfer photos between devices. One of the problems when you're doing mass deleting on the phone is you're going to tap on every photo to delete it one at a time. One of the tricks is that there's groups of photos taken day by day. So you can tap on the day marker to select all the photos on that day. But you still have to do it tap by tap by tap by tap. And so that can be a little tricky. With AnyTrans, you can put the desktop app in and then be able to use the shift click to collect the lots of ranges of photos to delete. But again, if you have iCloud Photo Library turned on, if you delete them from the phone, they're deleted from the cloud and then deleted from your computer too, because iCloud Photo Library syncs everything.
I already found that out.
So in the phone, under settings, under photos, there is an option for optimize storage library. And so to optimize phone storage, so that will only keep low resolution photos on the phone. The full resolution photos stay in the cloud to help you minimize the space used on your phone by the photos. The other place that photos use up a lot of space is in messages. So it's very common to message photos to people. There's an option to delete old messages, but if you want to keep the photo in the message, when you're in the messages app, you need to tap and hold on the photo to save it to your photo library.
I know that.
Yeah, otherwise the photos in the messages just eat up your space too. Yeah. And part of what we're seeing now is people take so many photos, pictures now with their cell phones. You remember when an 8-gig phone was a lot of storage?
Yeah.
And then 16 was minimum. Now 64 is minimum, and that's still not enough?
Yeah.
How soon is it going to be before 128 is the minimum storage you find on phones?
Well, the kids there, you know, they're doing selfies and everything else, yep. And constantly.
The new iPhone 13 can do super res 4K HDR, and it's not available on phones below 512 storage. Because, you know, if you only have 256 storage, that's 5 minutes of video. That's super high res.
Yeah, I'm discovering now, it seems like no matter how much space, I just got a new phone, no matter how much space you get, it's never enough.
Yeah,
that has been true with storage since day one, Larry.
We always like to say double what you think you're going to need, and that still won't be enough. But it will be longer before you run out.
Space will always be consumed no matter how much you think you should get. Beyond that, always. It's always been true from day one. You get back in the day when we got 20 gig hard drives or 20 meg hard drives. Oh, that'll be more than space. Ran out. Had to get a bigger hard drive. 500 meg. Ran out of space.
Yep.
You know, data always just keeps consuming up the space.
Well, and partly because it's getting bigger and bigger. The data you have all the time gets bigger. You know, music files at a mega minute were pretty big, and then we started getting video files where it's you know 5 gigs an hour.
Yeah,
and now we're doing tens of thousands of photos.
Well, that's where again I say, and this is holds true not only for the Mac but for the PC and the Android phones and all the phones out there. They've got to get, you know, they keep stressing, oh, it's thinner, and I've been saying this for a while now. The key thing is not thinner, fatter with longer battery life.
Yep.
Because batteries aren't holding up like they used to. You know, we're, you see folks kind of, oh, I need to plug in my phone because it's dying. Because they were watching this movie or this, or sorting through their photos and everything else.
Okay, yep. So since you said batteries, and then I'll hang up after this. Is there an app or something out there that can better control, what am I called, charging? Because my wife just bought me an iWatch for my birthday, and what I'm finding is it says, well, don't let it discharge below some certain percentage, but then don't let it charge beyond this. And geez, if you charge it up overnight and it sits overnight, you're going to kill the thing. Someone, is there some way, app or something I can use that I just plug the thing in and it, if it's below a certain point, it will charge, but if it's above a certain point, it won't charge.
Yeah, if you use the Apple chargers, it will do that automatically. It will learn your habits And so I plug my phone in at night, and it doesn't charge it until, you know, like 7 in the morning. So it's fully charged by the time I get up. But it knows that because that's what my habits have been.
Is this a physical device?
No, it's just the Apple charger. Use an Apple brand charger and the Apple brand cable so that it knows, and the software built into the phone and the watch, and the laptops now too, will automatically not overcharge your phone or your computer. It will hold it below full charge until your ordinary habits. So for a few weeks, it will be learning your habits. And so if you don't start using your phone until 9 a.m. every day, right. You can plug it in at night, and it won't charge it until 9 a.m. It'll automatically plan so that it isn't charged until 9, so that it doesn't stay fully charged too long.
So, but I have to have an Apple brand charger and the correct cord, right?
Right. That yeah. There or they can be what is it called? MFI, made for iPhone. If the third party devices have the MFI logo on, usually, because there have been counterfeit MFIs found, if they have the MFI on it, then it supports the iPhone and computer optimized charging. Yeah.
I'm almost in information overload.
Yeah. So they added that in iOS 13. So basically, what happens is it won't charge your phone past 80%. Until it recognizes your habits of when you need it to be fully charged, and then it will fully charge it then.
Got it. All right.
And I would assume, Nick's here to tell me, that Android does the same thing for optimized charging.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be a little concerned about some of the lower-end phones, if they do that or not, because typically they don't care.
Yeah. They want you to buy another phone.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, I will hang up, and while I'm listening to the program, I'll start searching for some of these things.
Sure. There you go, Larry.
Yep.
All right. Thank
Good
you.
Luck, my friend.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it looks like in Android 8 and later, they've done the same thing. They optimize the charging so that it watches your habits of when you use the phone so that it won't fully charge it until it needs to be fully charged. In fact, I've even seen messages on my computer. I tend to leave my computer plugged in all the time, so it is charged when I need it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it won't bother topping off the charge because it knows I'm not going to. So like you
stays there.
Yeah, Friday night it will fully charge itself because it knows I take it on the road on Saturday.
There you go. All right, next we got Scott from Webster. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey guys, I just made an online donation. I didn't realize that I could split it between the Jazz 90.1 and Sound Bites, but I'm going to call your office on Monday to see if they can split the donation.
Okay, sure. Hey, you're calling, you're supporting. That's what counts. Great. Bottom line.
Oh, good. Listen, I just want to stay on the subject of cell phones, if I could. I have a Google 2 that the battery just does not hold a charge any longer. I've got to upgrade it. I don't want to go to Verizon and go through them. I'd like to purchase it outright. Do you have any suggestions how I might do that, or any other sources for getting a replacement replacement cell phones?
There's a lot of places you can just buy them right from the manufacturer.
Yeah, do you have a particular brand in mind? You're looking
with a Google 6.
Yeah, so if you can buy it directly from the Google website, or the electronic stores will sell them.
6A is coming out soon, from what I understand. And usually the A's are cheaper than the full version. In other words, the 6 is one price and the 6A is a little less, you know. And they sit there and say, well, it's not as good a camera and all that. Well, you know, for me, it's a phone.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
So that's why I always go for the A's because they're cheaper. I know the various stores hate me because they always try to upsell you into, well, the 3 is better, you know, or the 4 is better than the 4A, or, you know, this and that, but it's like, it's a phone!
Yeah, I know. Okay, also on the subject of cellular networks, I like Verizon, I've got a family plan, I'm just tired of paying what I pay every month. Are there alternatives in terms of cell cell companies that still tie into the Verizon network that you're aware of? I know Consumer Cellular you see advertised all the time. I don't know if there are other ones or if that's even worth going for.
See, they get pushed back. You know, they're on the same network, okay? And they claim, you know, fast service and everything else. But it's like standing in a line. They're not front in line.
Yeah.
They're a few back.
Right. They're not the, they're a stepchild.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, there are, I'm looking for, I don't know if anyone has a list of them. There are other carriers that use Verizon. The smaller carriers, there's all smaller carriers that use T-Mobile. There's, you know, basically the big brands are all there are. And then, you know, say Mint Mobile comes along and they buy a huge pack of T-Mobile and sell that at a discount. So it's amazing what the deals you can get with the smaller carriers like Consumer Cellular and Mint Mobile, Straight Talk. But it's hard to tell what back end carrier they use.
Right.
Oh.
It's like I said, it's like standing in line and you don't know how fast, you know, your calls are going to get, you know, pushed through the system.
Right.
They could be a little bit slower because you're not paying for Verizon, who owns, say, their network. You know, they're a subsidiary, so
and it's called an MVNO. Is someone who buys someone else's network, and it looks like Straight Talk and TracFone, Xfinity. So not many of the larger brands I see are using Verizon. But if you go the other way, so if you Google like what network does Mint Mobile use, then it will tell you it's T-Mobile, and you can work your way back that way.
What about AT&T?
Let's see if I can find if anyone resells AT&T. What carriers use AT&T? Cricket uses AT&T, according to this list. What's the date on this? There's no date on it. I hate when they don't put dates on their websites.
Yeah.
So you can't tell...
how old the reference material you're looking at is.
That could have been 6 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
Pure Talk says uses it. Cricket. Pix Wireless I've never heard of. TracFone. So I know several of the smaller companies like TracFone and Cricket will use different carriers. One of the advantages now of 4G, the LTE standard, is all the carriers are using LTE. So it used to be some of the carriers would use GSM and some of the carriers would use CDMA. So it was really important you got the right phone for the right carrier.
Right.
Now that everyone's doing LTE, it almost doesn't matter what brand phone you get because they'll work with pretty much any carrier.
Okay. Great. Well, that's helpful. At least gives me some options rather than staying with Verizon, which I have no problem with. I'm just, you know, I look at the price every month and I go, wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks. I really enjoy your show. I've been listening to it for years. I don't call in all that often, but I appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you, Scott. Take care.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's really interesting in the mobile phone market is that, you know, for example, T-Mobile sells a phone line for $50 a month, and then Mint Mobile comes along and will resell you T-Mobile for $15 a month. How do they do that? Well, they're taking less of a profit out of it. Usually is what happens. And if you buy in bulk, then you can sell it for less.
Yeah, buy in discount. All right, let's go back to the phones. We got Patrick from Batavia. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, I got two things. First of all, welcome, guys, and happy Easter to you.
Thank you.
Follow up on, I think I called 2-3 weeks ago about trying to install LibreOffice, and mm-hmm. I could not get past the Windows installation package.
Okay.
So I start looking up some remedies, and when I came across, I said, that's stupid. I'm not going to try that. So, of course, I try other things. Nothing works. I go back to the one that was stupid, which is move the file to a different folder.
Mm-hmm. and that worked.
That worked, yeah.
The stupid, sometimes the stupid answer works.
Well, hey. The weird part is it went to my download folder, mm-hmm. which I would have thought if anything's going to work, quite often I'm the kind of person that likes to put things in my own folder rather than look the use what Windows suggests. That's mm-hmm. why I don't use a Word or folder or whatever. Mm-hmm. I make my own. This time I thought, okay, I'm going to try what Windows suggests and do it. And now, so hours I spent doing this, I move it. 2 minutes later, it's working. And it worked right away. So then I remember I canceled because I wanted to do the Revo installation. And that mm-hmm. worked perfect. And I'm starting to use it now. So one other question, though, that was just kind of a follow-up.
Yeah, thank you.
My Chromebook looks like it's going to update until June of this year. Now, when I first got it, I remember you guys talking about an option where if it doesn't update on its own, you can use the, I can't even think what it's called now. There was a program that simulated.
Neverware.
Neverware.
Yep, and actually Google bought them. Mm-hmm. And so the Neverware is now part of Google, and we're waiting to see how they're going to handle that when Chrome OS itself isn't being updated on Chromebooks. You can install Neverware to keep it going and keep it updating.
Okay, so my issue is I'm going to wait and see, or
basically, yeah,
yeah.
It's available now in beta. Let's see, I haven't logged in there lately.
But it is beta.
It is beta, yeah. So you don't want to install it on your primary machine. And they've renamed it Chrome OS Flex.
Okay, I'm making note of that, Chrome OS Flex. Now, if I continue to use the Chromebook in the July, August, through the end of the year, as I understand it, it won't update anymore. Is that right?
It won't stop working. It just won't get any security updates, and so you'll be vulnerable to any exploits that are found.
Which are, no offense, but are far and few behind on a Chromebook.
Well, in the Chrome browser, most of the attacks now are web-based rather than an actual program that installs. Mm-hmm. And so websites being able to capture your login credentials when you go to your bank. So you want to make sure you keep your web browser up to date as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a couple different computers. I've got Windows 10 and one. And this Chromebook, I kind of like, except I still have trouble finding files that I download. I'm so used to this download in Windows where you can put it wherever you want it to be. And this goes right on. I'm not even going to get into that. I have to just study it up a little bit more. But it's just, I think I'm trying to use my Windows habits with a Chromebook.
Yeah.
And that doesn't seem to work. So if I download a file in my Chromebook, then I look at it, well, if you're lucky, you'll find it again.
Yeah. Should be in the downloads folder.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Sign off, and hope your listeners hold on to the commercial break and come back and donate money at 90.1.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, folks, we got to take a quick break, but we will be back with more questions. So, Michael's sitting there waiting, so give him a call and donate, please, right here at member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And welcome back to this edition of Sound Bites. I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And we have, let's go right on to the phones. We have Rich, I think it was from Irondequoit. Go ahead,
Hello.
Rich. Go ahead, sir.
A question. For the past couple of years, I have been trying to delete two very old Gmail addresses, or do you call them accounts?
A Google account has a Gmail address, yeah.
Yes. I cannot delete them because I only have one that I choose to use, and two are so old I want to get rid of them because Gmail and occasionally another website will address me using one of those old ones, and I don't want that. How do I delete them?
Well, that's two different questions. You have to go to that website that's using the wrong address and change your address at that website. But you can delete your Google account now. It used to be very hard to delete accounts, But with,
Tell me about it. With
the GDPR in Europe, part of the new law there was that you have the right to have your data removed. So companies basically have allowed it worldwide because it's easier than saying only in Europe can we do this. So I'll post a link on how to delete your Google account. But basically, you log into your Google account, and there's a section there where you say delete it, and then follow all the instructions I give you, and all the warnings about, oh, you're going to lose all access to your mail and your contacts and your calendars, which you probably know if you're deleting your account.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
But the only problem with that is I need to have my password that I used previously. I don't have them.
Then you have to go through the forgot password link in order to reset your password.
That is a circular, it's useless because they want my password to reset my password.
Well, they have to prove your identity, so they want the most recent password you knew, or a cell phone that they can send a text to, or another email address that they can...
That's valid.
That's valid, yeah. If you don't have any of that, then yes, you're screwed. There's no way to delete it until you log into it.
Please put on your website what you know about deleting, and I will take it from there.
Yep.
Okay.
I will call back with a donation as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that's one of the tips for any account you have anywhere. Go into your account preferences every now and then. Make sure information is up to date. In fact, I see AOL is one of the only ones that do that. Is this still right? Is the cell phone number still right on your account? So if you forget your password, they will send you a text file. Is your recovery email address still right? Do you still have access to this email address? So if you forget your password, they can email you or they can text you. If they don't have the right information to do that with, there's nothing they can do to prove your identity to let you back into that service.
Yeah. And speaking of calling in and pledging, I want to take this moment just to thank Charles for his donation, Scott for his, Michael and Fred. Thank you very much for supporting us. We know you folks are out there and they care about this show, but, you know, hey, we still got about 25 minutes. If you folks would pick up the phones and give us a call at 966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415, or you can do it securely online. You know, that way you're listening to the show and pledging. You hit that big red donate now button and show your support for Soundbites, please. All right, we'll go back to the phones. We have Fred from Rochester. Go ahead, Fred.
Hey, first of all, shout out to Nick. Hope he's resting comfortably. I'm sure he's listening, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I have a couple of questions on phone use, one security question and one for listening to your radio station on my phone. Start with the phone listening. I've listened and I kind of get a kick out of watching you guys on YouTube, especially when I, you know, watch and eat donuts during break time and
yeah.
That kind of good stuff. I wonder what they do during break. And then I found it on YouTube and I see what you're doing on break. So anyway, but if I go to look at something else on my phone while I'm listening and I switch to another view, it cuts out. I'm looking for an app that won't cut out.
That's more of a service, not a service, a feature on the phone to play, to stop, to be able to keep playing the audio from one tab while you open another tab.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do. I know it works in the podcast app on my iPhone. It works in the music app too. Because I can have music running while I've got the GPS open.
Yeah, I mean, most of them you can sit there and play it. Be playing a YouTube video
YouTube is one that doesn't let you have picture in picture. If you leave the YouTube app, it doesn't work. It pauses
mine,
it.
Oh, mine. Usually, I can continue in another tab and it keeps playing.
Right, in another tab, but not in another app.
No.
I have Pandora, and I can play music in the background.
Oh, okay.
Searching. Yeah.
And so that's something that the phone...
Totally different.
Yeah. And so YouTube is one that doesn't allow... In fact, I read that they were beta testing picture-in-picture, but they canceled they completed the beta test, and there's no word on whether they're going to allow picture-in-picture. Right. So picture-in-picture basically means you can leave one YouTube video playing while you do something else.
Is that because it's not a paid... service?
Right, not a paid service. So some of the paid services want you to do that. Yeah. So I haven't tried it in the Jazz 91 app, but that may work as well. So we have a specific Jazz 91 WGMC app that you can download that also lets you listen to the other shows live and access the archive libraries. That may. Be able to play in the background. I can try it here temporarily, but that's something to try also.
Okay.
And if you're playing the station from the website, you should be able to open a new tab in the website, but not necessarily open a different program.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to check while I was listening to you. I wanted to check my bank account. So before I made my donation.
Yep.
And when I switched over, I lost it. I said, oh no.
That's why you need another device.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got my iPad, my computer, my phone. I can have three things open at once.
Another gadget to play with.
Yep.
I actually went back to the old-fashioned over-the-air FM radio.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, sometimes you have to go regress on the technology. Huh? I have a Avast security, and I have the full paid version. And we talked earlier, we heard you talking about Malwarebytes, and I found a Malwarebytes app for the Android phone. Is that something that you recommend doing, both of those?
Generally, yeah.
Won't hurt.
Yeah. Most of the time, both Google and Apple are pretty good about removing malicious apps that they find. They vet the apps before they get into the store at all. But a lot of times apps will sneak in, claim there'll be like a time delay function. So the malicious stuff doesn't start for a month, so they can get past the sensors to get in the store. But then when they're discovered, they're often removed quickly as well. But it doesn't hurt to have extra.
Yeah, my phone does a screening, and it'll say it detected, you know, say a malicious message or, you know, phone call, you know, my phone won't even ring. It goes right to spam because it knows certain numbers I've marked, you know, from previous that it learns that it's not something I want to hear. Or it's the same with messages.
So does the Google Store automatically take that off your phone or send you some kind of warning if they found at some later point that it's a malicious app?
They usually mine. It just sits there and marks it and says, "Yeah, this is suspicious."
And blocks it from being used. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. And the Jazz 91 app does play in the background when you switch to another app.
Okay. Can you put something on the website? Because when I looked up the Jazz 90.1, I got quite a few listings.
Yep.
For apps, I didn't know which one was the official WGMC one.
Yeah, I will post a link to that as soon as I find how not to stop this other music playing. I'm listening to myself out of two ears.
And there's always a time delay.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay.
I think that covers it. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, have a good one. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, again, we're getting close to the end of our 2 hours allotted here. We are in a pledge drive. Our spring pledge drive. You can call in and pledge to the station and to our show. Phone numbers are 585-966-JAZZ. That's 585-966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And you can also pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Big red donate now button. And when you do pledge online, when you pledge period, we have some wonderful thank you gifts available at different pledge levels. If you do pledge online, please be sure to make sure you click on that soundbites icon so that your donation goes toward us.
Just recently, I just got a message that said, Jim, donated. So thank you very much, Jim. Thank you for taking the time and while you're listening to the show and going in there and pledging and being a member, whether you're, I don't know, it doesn't say whether you're a renewing member or a brand new member. Either way, you're supporting this show.
Yep.
And that's what counts, because without you folks and supporting, we won't be here. It's plain and simple. I mean, think about this, folks. Where could you go elsewhere where you find an all music program? Usually, you know, more than three and a quarter days. That's all music.
Yep.
They're not talk. Rob, in the middle of a Saturday from 12 to 2, prime time, said, oh, I'm putting in a talk show. And it's about computers on a music jazz program. He took a big gamble. But you know what? Our supporters have been there for us, and they've supported us year after year. You folks are great. We love it because we know we're out there helping you folks, and we only come twice a year asking for your help, and you're always there for us. So, yeah, pick up the phone and please make your pledge and show your support for this program, because we enjoy doing it. That's why we come every Saturday. Like Steve was saying before, we're not paid. Like the rest of the DJs and everything else, we're all volunteers. We come in because we enjoy doing this. Steve and I have been in business fixing computers for quite a few decades, and we enjoy dealing with people. I still do to this day. Even though I retired from the business, I still like to keep up on the technology and help you folks out and answer your questions and, you know, try to discover different stuff. That's like with Nick and I and our battering back and forth with the Raspberry Pis.
Yep.
You know, it's something new that's coming out, and it's the new trend. That's the way it's going. Because like I said at the beginning of the show, you're not seeing these box stores with all these big computers. It's down to laptops or, you know, tablets or phones. You want a big machine nowadays or a desktop, you've got to go online and have it delivered to you.
And you often
or go to your local store, computer store.
Yeah, you often get more power out of a desktop than you do a laptop for the same price. But it's not as easy to carry around. But most people buy a laptop, don't carry it around.
Yeah, it sits there.
That's what your tablet's for. In fact, you could buy a desktop and a tablet oftentimes for less than the laptop would have cost you.
Yo, I just, matter of fact, what was it? On Woot, Nick and I were, you know, talking about doing Woot. And all of a sudden I had some Dell computers pop up. And I needed another computer. So, oh, what the heck? And I got a heck of a deal on a desktop unit because a lot of folks aren't going to desktops anymore. Like I say, they're going to the laptops and the tablets. So, you know, they're not concerned about, you know, oh, yeah, the portability. But yet, when it comes to expanding it, that's where you're kind of putting yourself into a small corner when it comes to laptops. You know, you're only allowed so many memory slots versus, say, a desktop. Right,
because of the physical size.
Yeah. Laptops usually have two slots for memory, and it's expensive. Versus, say, a desktop that usually has four, or some of them even have six, I've seen. And they have multiple bays, so if you want to add multiple hard drives, you can do it. CD-ROM drives. That's where a lot of the computers nowadays are coming without CD-ROM drives.
Yep.
It's something that's just like the floppy. Remember floppy drives?
On its way out.
Yeah, they're no longer around. I mean, I've got a few still sitting around on a shelf, but we don't use floppies anymore, nor CDs. You know, if you want software and all that, you're downloading it. Heck with, you know, oh, putting a CD in and so on. It's easier just to download it from the internet, install it. You got the latest and greatest version, and away you go. So, you know, we try to keep you up on all this changing stuff because it's a landmine field out there trying to keep up with it. Well, does this work? Does that work? Because you really don't know. But yet, We have fun playing around with this stuff and, you know, try to keep you apprised that, yeah, you might want to try this. Yeah, no, this one's no good. We're going to be honest because nobody's paying us, you know, to sit there and say, oh, push this product, push that. We have no axe to grind with any one of them. We do axe, you know, grind against Microsoft sometimes and the way they will use and abuse some of their people as far as using beta testers. Or my biggest grief is you get into a software package and then they discontinue it.
Yep.
Or they change stuff and it's like, why did you change it? You know? So that's what we're here for, folks. So, you know, again, pick up the phone. Give us a call. We still got about 10 more minutes at 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And pledge. Keep Michael busy here getting us closer and closer to our gold.
And check with your company. Some companies will double your pledge. So whatever you pledge, they will match your pledge, and so your pledge can be doubled. There's a list on the Jazz website of companies they know of that do that. But check with your company. A lot of them will match your charitable donations as well.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't cost anything to ask. And what the heck, why not? You know, if it's going to a good cause, and especially people should be really excited because the Jazz Fest is back. After a two-year hiatus, yep, they're finally coming back, and your folks might say, well, I'm not keen on jazz. If you've never been to the Jazz folks, the Jazz Fest folks, you definitely have to check it out. There is such a genre of music for all palates, because there's reggae music, and there's contemporary jazz, yep, there's fusion jazz, there's high school band. I mean, there's all different pianists. I mean, it goes on and on, the different forms that you can go to and listen to the different variety of,
yep,
I won't call it jazz, I'm going to call it music. Because, matter of fact, there's a great group, they're coming. The first thing I did once they announced it was to check out on Thursday night. They do two shows. And it's a group that I have been listening to for quite a few years. They're called Soul Stew. And they're out on Gibbs Street. And when they play, very few folks are sitting in their chair listening. They're up and dancing in the street. Because the street gets jammed because they literally have the soul music going and it just rocks the house. Nobody moves on Gibbs Street once Soul Stew gets going. And I usually check out both shows because they're that great. And there's other acts that are going throughout the week. So I urge you, please check it out. And you also want to listen to the station because usually Rob's, from time to time, is giving away tickets to some of the paid venues. Yep. So it's another feature that, you know, as a member in that, excuse me, that you want to listen to this radio station. And if you don't pledge, we might not be here to, yep, for you to enjoy that.
And if feature. You want, and if you want a sample, this coming Friday from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. is our spring listener party. And we're going to have great music from Jimmy Highsmith and his trio. Just Friday the 22nd from 5:30 to 7:30 here at the Greece Olympia School Jazz Station, 1139 Maiden Lane. Stop on by. You can meet some of the DJs that are here. I try to get here, but I usually work until 7, so it's tough.
Well, same here. I don't usually, yep, get done until 6:30. Yep. So.
But really great music from Jimmy Highsmith and his trio. So that's this Friday, our spring listener party. Oh, again, yeah, right on the Jazz website, there is a calendar of events down the right-hand side where it shows you some of the upcoming things that are happening.
Yeah, and I mean, we have other things going on. We have the canal tours going on,
yep,
where we have great artists on that plane. Bill Tiberio.
I think they've started booking the Erie, Colonial Bell Erie Canal,
yeah,
tours.
Rob puts that on. I mean, he has a lot of great things going on throughout the year. And one of the other things that you get when you do pledge is the membership card. And it's a diner's card. With places starting to open back up, you can make some great deals on, you know, shopping for different things. Food events, you can get 2-for-1s or a discount on food. So that comes along, I believe, with the $90 and up, I think it is,
yep.
Membership that you can take advantage of that. So you go out for dining and you get a discount there. And it's he's got a you want to check that out, if you go to our webpage, jazz901.org, you can check out that membership card because it's got a wide variety of wineries. And Rob is constantly looking to keep adding more and more sponsors to support this. And it's also versatile. So if you're, a snowbird, and you go down south for the winter and then come back up here for the summer, you can go down there and say, hey, I'm a member of this. You want the card for down there?
Yeah.
They'll give it to you. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of great advantages to being a member of Jazz 90.1 that, you know, it's saving you money. Even though you're putting money up, you're supporting great music, but yet you're also getting the tax discount on it. You're getting that membership card. And depending on what you pledge, some really cool gifts. Check out the sound bites. I mean, we've got our shirt. We got the mouse pad. There's other CDs that Rob has given away with the various levels. So you want to take a close look at that. Shirts and that to show your support for this radio station.
Yeah, there's a 2 gigabyte sound bites thumb drive. While supplies last, I think those are going fast.
Mm-hmm.
Wireless phone charger.
Yep.
The fact that you were talking about the charging port broke off. That's why a lot of phones are now going to wireless charging. So you just, bless you, you just set your phone down on the pad and it charges. Doesn't charge as fast as it does when you plug it in.
Yeah.
But you don't have that plug that's going to break and you don't have that as an access point for water or moisture getting into your phone.
Yeah.
So it's people were complaining when Apple stopped including a headphone jack. But that's just a place for water to get in, and there's a lot of fear they're going to remove the plug-in connector too and do everything wireless. But
I always liked it with the Mac with the for the power
MagSafe. Yeah, they went back to MagSafe on the newest models.
That was the best thing going. So all manufacturers should do that.
When you trip on the cable, it doesn't pull your computer down to the floor.
Well, that's we used to have folks come in all the time with their laptops because, this is just a little loose. Can you fix it? Well, the folks didn't understand when they broke off or loosened up the power connector on a laptop, at least for PCs, you had to tear the whole PC apart because it was fried, folks. Yep. You know, there was just no easy way to doing it. It had to come, taking all these screws out. We used to map it all out. Had to flip the board over to unsolder the connection and put it back in. Well, that does it, folks. I want to thank the folks that called in and pledged. I want to take another thank you very much for all the listeners that called in with their questions. We really do appreciate it. And hopefully Nick will be back next week. The three of us will all be here to answer your computer questions.
And no Soundbites Lounge tomorrow. Happy Easter to everyone.
Oh, yes, that's right. Kind of remind you folks there that that is on hiatus because of the holidays. I mean, we don't do it that often, but, you know, once in a while, Nick and Steve have to take some time off and enjoy their family life. So, you know, with that, we will be back next Saturday right here from 12 to 2 on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week.